Utah's Zion Curtin is staying put. Three air quality bills survive, and the education budget gets a shot in the arm. You're listening to the KUER News Legislative Wrap-Up. I'm Brian Grimmett. The Zion Curtin, or the barrier shielding restaurant customers from the preparation of alcoholic beverages, will stand this year, despite attempts by state House members to tear it down. But some changes to alcohol laws did pass, including the ability for restaurant chains to get a single master liquor license. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
Earlier in the session, the House voted by a clear majority to remove the Zion Curtin, but that move was opposed by the Senate, particularly by Republican John Valentine of Orem.
Our restaurants are family-friendly, and we don't want to have the atmosphere that encourages consumption of alcohol.
Valentine sponsored a new liquor bill which excluded language about the Zion Curtin. After some negotiations between House and Senate members, the House passed the bill on the final day of the session. But numerous representatives were disappointed that the Zion Curtin would remain in Utah restaurants, including Republican Spencer Cox of Fairview.
I have yet to see any data or any study or anything that says that the so-called Zion Curtin has any effect whatsoever on alcohol consumption. It's illogical, it makes no sense, and I hope we can try again next year.
Republican Representative Francis Gibson of Mapleton says the bill at least takes a step forward by allowing restaurant chains to obtain a single license.
There are things that this bill did not give us, but there are also things that it does. I look at the master license. I look at the ability that that will bring for new restaurants and new cities and communities to be able to open up and feel like they can be competitive and serve in those areas. We are continuing to evolve. We're going to knock a hole in the iron wall one sledgehammer at a time.
The bill also allows for tastings of liquor, wine, and beer. It now goes to Governor Herbert for approval. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
When the 2013 Utah legislative session ended at midnight on Thursday, lawmakers had passed three bills aimed at improving air quality, but let four other bills expire without consideration. KUER's Terry Gilday has more.
More than 20 days of unhealthy air this winter make cleaning it up a touchstone issue in the legislative session. But only three of seven air quality bills proposed are headed to the governor for his signature. Several bills sponsored by Democrats sought money and tax incentives for mass transit passes and would have given Utah the ability to clean up the air beyond federal EPA standards. All of these bills were left to expire. But one bill sponsored by Democratic Representative Patrice Aaron did pass both chambers. It would mandate that state agencies come up with their own plans to reduce pollution. Aaron says she will continue to address air quality issues on the state's Economic Development Task Force.
We need to look at long-term solutions. We are continuing on the road to do that. We started last year in passing legislation. We're working on the issue this year. I passed legislation, which I was thrilled to get through. So we're not disappointed.
Two other air quality bills sponsored by Republicans passed both chambers. One sponsored by Representative Jack Draxler would extend tax credits to those who buy clean fuel vehicles or convert their current vehicles to run on fuels like propane or compressed natural gas. The other bill, sponsored by Senator Stuart Adams, would provide loan incentives to dramatically increase the state's CNG fueling infrastructure. Both bills were championed by Governor Gary Herbert. He says the state will continue to find ways to address poor air quality.
The idea that we're trying to get our fleets to use more compressed natural gas is going to be a significant benefit as we start burning cleaner fuels. Our Department of Environmental Quality is working with our point sources in industry and developing a pathway for each one of them to reduce emissions. So I think you're going to see some significant benefits over the next 12 months with efforts that are ongoing.
At the beginning of the session, lawmakers were considering budget cuts to the Division of Air Quality, but that funding was restored and included in the budget, ultimately approved by the legislature. Terry Gilday, KUER News.
Democratic state lawmakers say they're pleased the legislature passed a budget that fully funded growth in enrollment and boosted per-pupil spending. But Utah residents are ready to invest more in public schools. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
The final budget provides additional funding for roughly 13,000 new students and increases per-pupil spending by 2%, enough to help school districts pay for the increased cost of employee benefits, but not enough for teacher pay raises. Lawmakers also appropriated ongoing money for extended-day kindergarten and dual-language programs. Democrats say while their top funding priorities were addressed, they were hoping to grow the pot with several tax initiatives that increased funding for education. But those initiatives failed to pass.
We think the public is ready to put greater investments in public schools.
Representative Joel Briscoe lamented efforts to restore 2.5 professional development days for teachers, a $21 million request that was also denied.
Teachers have received next to no support for implementing the Common Core curriculum. And the 2.5 days the Democrats asked to be funded in the budget would have provided teachers and schools time to implement the biggest change in curriculum for teachers have been asked to do in a long, long time.
But Executive Appropriations Committee Chair Senator Lyle Hilliard said the legislature spent every dime it could on public education.
It's not that we're sitting here on a pile of money and refuse to spend it.
Hilliard added if the legislature is going to raise taxes, it needs to see better results in the classroom.
That's why a lot of the legislators are pushing for innovation, computer kinds of testing programs, which the public education system is adopting, but not very readily.
In total, the state legislature added about $160 million to the $3-plus billion public education budget. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Utah lawmakers have guaranteed that Governor Gary Herbert will play a key role in deciding if the state will expand its Medicaid program. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
Was designed to prohibit the governor from expanding Medicaid in Utah. It passed the House, but Senate leaders said they would not support it. Republican Senator Todd Weiler of Woods Cross introduced a substitute bill that frees the governor to decide whether to expand Medicaid, but only after the release of an independent cost study. Then, if the governor opts to expand, he would have to seek funding approval from the legislature.
Let's slow down, take a breath, make an educated decision, and do it the right way, whatever the result is going to be.
Democrats, including Luz Robles, supported the change.
And I applaud all the members of the Senate for taking an evidence-based, educated approach.
Democrats said they wanted more public input in the process and questioned the viability of charity care alternatives, which the bill specifies should have a thorough analysis by the Legislative Health Reform Task Force. The bill passed unanimously in the Senate, and later in the evening, the House passed the amended version on a vote of 51-23. The bill now awaits the signature of Governor Herbert. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
Utah lawmakers rejected a bill that would have allowed voters to register to vote on Election Day using provisional ballots. House Bill 91 encountered resistance in the Utah Senate on the last day of the session. Democrats, including Senator Jim DeBacchus, spoke in favor of the bill.
I think that a lot of Utahns out there who simply don't put the focus on voting that they could because they're so busy earning a living would like the opportunity to register and vote the same day. The more people we can get out to vote, the better our whole system works.
Republican Senator John Valentine argued against the bill.
A voter who doesn't register until the day of the election, a voter who does not educate themselves regarding the issues of the day, the candidates of the day, is not the type of voter that can make good decisions. The way that this republic works is by people engaging. Sheer numbers is not what will make this a healthy society.
Those opposed were also concerned the bill did not have the support of many county clerks and there might have been problems with implementation. In the end, it failed in the Senate 10-18.
Legislation that could lead to the relocation of the Utah State Prison is now on its way to the governor's desk. The facility currently occupies about 700 acres in Draper, land that is coveted by developers who see housing and high-tech businesses taking its place. An earlier amendment that would have prevented private prison operators from bidding to run a new prison was removed from the final version of the bill.
A bill that would provide tax incentives for a privately owned and operated convention center hotel in Salt Lake City failed on the House floor in the final day of the 2013 legislative session. Senate Bill 267 would have allowed the hotel to keep about $30 million in sales and use tax over the course of two decades. Many lawmakers, including Republican Representative Brian Green, were concerned the new hotel would siphon business away from surrounding hotels.
This is the classic example of the government picking winners and losers. And the losers, those are those that we would be condemning to be the losers, are the ones that have been in our city for years and decades.
The hotel is being considered partly to help retain the outdoor retailer trade shows, and the project is expected to cost about $300 million. Leaders in the Utah legislature made an exception to their own rules yesterday and introduced a bill on the last day of the session. Senate Bill 289 would keep Utah's attorney general from investigating a complaint against himself, in this case, an accusation that he violated state election laws. The bill was approved in a hurried committee meeting and then on the Senate floor a short time later. Senate President Wayne Niederhauser says there now needs to be a broader examination of election and ethics rules.
We have also noticed that this whole area of the law needs to be reviewed. So that's something we're going to do in the interim, and hopefully there won't be any other issues come up during that time, but we hope to come back with a bill next session that will address all the issues.
The bill calls for the lieutenant governor to appoint an independent lawyer to investigate election law complaints against the attorney general. The AG's office would still be responsible for investigations involving any other elected officials. Beginning this fall, every school in Utah will get a letter grade on its performance posted on a public website. A bill that changed the criteria for those grades passed the legislature on the final day. Republican Representative Craig Hall of West Valley argued against the system, saying it could hurt schools in his legislative district.
Everyone that I have spoken to acknowledges that in situations like this, where there is a huge amount of diversity and lots of students that don't know how to speak English well, these schools will be graded worse.
Senate Bill 271 barely got through the House. The vote was 38-36, and it's now up to the governor whether to sign it.
HB 76, the bill eliminating the need to get a concealed carry permit, is moving to the governor's desk after the Utah Senate gave it final approval.
Republican Senator Alan Christensen of Ogden is the Senate sponsor of the bill. He says he simply wants to make it easier for Utahns to exercise their Second Amendment rights that they already have.
Doesn't change anything about who can carry a weapon or possess a firearm. It simply gives honest people the right to do what they cannot do honestly right now, and that is cover up the weapon.
Senator Lyle Hilliard of Logan and Senator Brian Shiozawa of Cottonwood Heights were the only two Republicans to oppose the bill. Shiozawa, a gun owner himself, says he struggled with his decision to vote against the bill.
I believe the governor says that we shouldn't have any new gun laws this year, and I have three constituent mayors and their police chiefs who do not support this bill. So based on that, I'm going to vote no.
The bill passed out of the Senate by a vote of 22-7. Along with the vote margin in the House, the bill is potentially veto-proof. Governor Gary Herbert has expressed his opposition to the bill, but has not publicly committed to veto it.
Utah's Catholic bishop is urging Governor Gary Herbert to veto HB 76. On Friday, Bishop John Wester told reporters the bill establishes a culture in Utah that prioritizes deadly weapons over human life. Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker and Alyssa Parker, who lost her daughter in December school shooting in Connecticut, also are pressing for a veto. And that is your KUER News Pod for Monday, March 18th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, check out our new free smartphone app that you can download for your iPhone or Android device. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.